and they don't have hope. They find validation. And I'm kind of going off track, but this is interesting information that goes along this worrying track. I don't know if you saw this on the news, but one of the creators of Facebook said that they knew exactly what they were doing when they created Facebook, because they were doing psychoanalysis, and they knew that, first of all, people want to be part of a group. Validation. They also knew people love validation, so that's why you have a like. How many of you are like, how many likes did I get on that? Right? It plays with your psychology. Validation. And they knew that they would be in part of the group, and how many friends and the likes and the validation from people. And they said, as a matter of fact, the guy that was talking said, we were worried about putting this out there because we knew that it was going to be addictive. And we knew that there'll be less productivity at work. That there'll be less productivity because people are going to be looking for that like, for that validation. Because that's how the human, we want to be accepted and wanted. And when things aren't going our way, see, now people are looking for that as validation. And if it's not there, they don't have anything. Right? And people worry because they're looking for things in this world to work out the way their psychology wants it to work out. I thought that was pretty fascinating. And we don't, see, we don't operate in that world. Amen. Our like is from our Heavenly Father. Amen. That's the validation I need. And when things aren't going well, I trust Him, and somehow He'll get me through. And if He doesn't, I know it's still for something bigger than myself, and it doesn't work out the way I want it to work out. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to praise Him, because it's all going to come together at one point, because God is not a liar. It will come together. There will be victory in our circumstances. Amen. Even unto death, there will be victory in our circumstances. I don't understand it, but I don't need to, because we are people that trust. Amen. Right? Well, that's why the Bible says faith pleases God. Amen. Because you just trust Him. And it pleases God. So don't worry. If you're worrying too much, stop it. It's going to work out. It's going to work out. The way it doesn't work out is when you worry so much that you completely run away from God. Then it won't work out. But I know no one in this place intends to run away from God. So trust Him. Leave it at the cross and move on. And move on. And those things in your life that are hard, the trials where you need a miracle or you need God to intervene. Maybe there's health or there's family or there's sickness or things that are out of our control. Just trust looks like peace in the storm. Trust looks like peace in the storm. So I hope you wrote something down. I know you got a lot of good stuff there. I don't know. Or maybe I'm thinking more highly of myself than I ought to, as the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. This is a big one too. So we're kind of wrapping the last 2 weeks and kind of summarizing it in a sense, because I'm repeating some of them. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. If you are holding on to bitterness or grudges or people did you wrong and you're still there, absorbing it, chewing on it, stop it. Stop it. It is only bringing you down. It's not worth it. The Bible's very clear, and God says it very clearly. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It is not your job to create justice between you and the person who wronged you. Right? The justice system does that, and if it doesn't,
God takes care of it.
The only way to really let that go is to trust it. Trust God. He'll take care of it. And that way you don't carry this bitterness and this grudges. Because if you're looking to be bitter, it's not hard to find. Amen? Amen? If you're looking to hold a grudge, if you're looking to be in turmoil, if you're looking to have conflict, and you're looking for people to wrong, do you wrong, you will not have trouble finding it. But that's not who we are. All bitterness, God, let it go. Instead, love and forgive. Amen. Letting it go, forgive. Forgiving one another. That's a good one. I mean, just stop that. Bitterness, just stop it. It's not going to help you. And the Bible's clear on how to handle when you're wronged. Turn the other cheek means choose not to be offended, right? Choose not to be offended. Ephesians chapter 5, just a chapter down, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So if you're still getting drunk, stop it. Right? All right, the Bible says don't get drunk. You know, it's not good to get drunk and then you start saying all those things that you're not supposed to say out loud. Right? And then you create conflict and then you have your abusive drunks and you have your laughing drunks and you have your crying drunks and you have... You all know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. You have relatives, parties that relatives go to. But stop it. We don't live that life. We don't live that life of losing our senses and doing things that harm your body, harm others. There's nothing there for us. So stop it. Right? Romans 12, verse 3. If you turn there, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. If you think you can be victorious and live a nice life without God, stop it. You will not live a victorious life when you leave God in the back seat. You will live a life of wilderness and no foundation and confusion. Don't think that you can do this on your own. You were not built to figure it all out on your own. That's not how God created you. God created you with a heart, an emptiness there that can only be filled by your Heavenly Father, the presence of God, the Spirit of God. It can only be filled that way. But the world is trying to fill that emptiness and void and with trash. And sometimes the trash tastes good, but eventually it's going to upset your stomach if you keep at it, right? And don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Don't think you've got this on your own without God. One thing I tell the leaders in this church and the council, and I tell over and over and over, without that relationship with God every day, without that daily communication, the daily intentional reach out to your Heavenly Father to be part, to be in it every day in your life. Without that, you're subject for the enemy and the darkness to attack and empty in through weaknesses of your life. It's so important as leaders and as church members and as we get ready to be prepared by God to go and impact this community. It's so important that we have that daily walk and that you'll hear that over and over and over, because at the end of the day, you know, I Pastor Green can counsel a little bit like this. He had this this wife coming to complain about the husband, and Pastor Green says, "Oh, okay, I'm going to pray for you." No, 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 no. You need to pray for my husband. No, no, we're going to pray for you. It was just you. Why? It always begins with us. Revival begins with one. When people begin to deny self, to surrender all, pray, seek God, be in His presence, desire Him more than anything else, all of a sudden, revival breaks out in a community. Because it's about our relationship with God. You want to fix your spouse? Surrender everything to God. Somehow, some way, God will figure out your spouse. You won't figure it out. You know that words don't always solve everything, but prayer and changing and surrendering, God's in that. God is in that, and things do change. But it takes trust. It takes patience. Some of you, you're praying for something, and you just, what God has planned for me? What am I going to do? What about this? What about that in my life? What about my future? What about this? What about this prayer request I have? What about? Trust it. Trust God. The evidence will be peace, joy, and you trust Him, and He will answer. God is not a liar. He does say that He's with you every step of the way. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So don't do it on your own. Don't do it on your own. You know, basically what Pastor Green was telling the spouse is, stop it. We're going to pray for you. Because God can change your spouse. In Psalms 23, verse 3, everyone knows Psalms 23. But I wanted to just read verse 3. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. If you have any doubts that God is leading you into a righteous life, that's where He's leading you, into a righteous life. You know those fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, meekness. He's leading you to that life of peace, joy, and that those fruits to be who you are. That's where you're going. And that's why when those fruits are not evident in your life, it's like confusion. When you're working through problems, worrying and grudges and bitterness, that's not the fruits. Don't ever doubt that God has you on a journey to produce those fruits, those 9 fruits. He's got you on a journey to produce those fruits. Don't doubt it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians. After Romans, is 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according to his purposes in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. If you haven't grasp the concept that it's more blessed to give than to receive, stop it. Change your mindset. When you begin to give, you know, of your tithes and offerings, you ask anybody who's been tithing for all their life, every single one of them will tell you that they don't regret that they did it because they saw all the blessings. Amen. Amen? Those of you that, but those that haven't figured it out yet, stop it. Thank you, brother. I didn't know what to say next. That's what I should have said. Stop it. It's not that the pastor or the congregation or the council need the money. The bills are going to get paid. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with understanding and trusting God's concepts, God's laws, God's word. Over and over, he says, give, and bountifully it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. And of course, tithes and offerings is the one we think about. But this is also give. You know, as the worship team came up here, they give of their time, right? They give of their hearts. And this week on Saturday, we're going to give of our time and our love and our commitment to go help people. Maybe during Thanksgiving, somebody will have canned goods that they weren't planning to have, or won't have to spend it on buying that because they can use it for something else for their kids. You know, we're going to take time this Saturday and try to just bless people. Give, give, give. So if you haven't grasped this concept, stop it and grasp it and begin to live your life that shows evidence of trust. Amen? Right? You want to see evidence of trust. People who give of their tithes and offerings show evidence of trust, because, you know, the world tells you a dollar less from $10 is $9. And I can do less with $9 than I can with $10. That's all true in math. But God's math is 5 loaves and 5 fishes feeding the multitudes. Right? That's God's math. We don't operate in our math. See, this is trust. This is understanding His concepts. His ways are not our ways. And it's so powerful once we surrender to it. So stop it and surrender all. Amen. So let's end with this story. In John chapter 8, verse 1. Turn there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses' law says, such should be stoned, but what do you say, Jesus? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger, and he wrote something on the ground, and he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up his voice and said unto him, he that is without sin, cast the first stone on her. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus ends. There's a lot of things in this story, but the one point being how everyone stepped aside and Jesus was the only one left who was truly without sin and could have cast a stone. But he decided not to. So in this story, Jesus ends the story by basically telling the adulterous woman to go and sin no more. This is Jesus' delicate way to tell her, stop it. Amen. Right? He just did it so much nicer. He said, look, you're guilty. You deserve death. Because the wages of sin is death. And we all deserve death. Because you've sinned and fallen short. But I'm standing here and I say, I don't condemn you right now. But you don't just go on and keep doing what you're doing. Stop it. Go and sin no more. Jesus never excused sin. Jesus always said, stop it. As a matter of fact, he says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, right? Or your left hand, I don't remember which hand. Cut it off. Stop it, is what he said, right? You know, trust, there's obedience there, and there's understanding that his ways are better than our ways. And we got to surrender to this word, right? Amen. Surrender to this word. We're not to be conformed to this world. We need to stop. If we're in fear, we need to stop. If we're worried, we need to stop. If we hold bitterness, we need to stop. If we're getting drunk and doing things out and the world is doing, we need to stop. If we think we can be victorious and figure it out all on our own without God, we need to stop. We need to trust Him in everything. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. What I love about God's Word is that as we speak it, as it comes forth, we as a congregation receive it, and we receive it in our own experiences, so it all means different to everybody. But the point is that the anointing, the Spirit of God, is giving you something in your heart, in your spirit, to take with you, like food. To take with you. That's why I ask you to write something down that's like the food and go and pray about it tonight. What is it in your life that you need to stop it? No, none of us are perfect. What is it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, above all, I know this congregation desires to bring hope to this community, desires to serve, to answer the call you have for us. I believe in down in their hearts they desire more than anything else to let you drive and lead them. But the enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy and keep us under worry and keep us under fear. But Lord, you haven't given us the spirit of fear. And Lord, we know today that you're preparing us. You're preparing the worship team. You're preparing the congregation. You're preparing Sunday school, the Christmas program, everything, Lord, that you're putting together, the community outreaches, what Pastor Green and Kathleen have laid down for many, many years, that foundation that's being prepared. There's so much preparation going, Lord. We can see it. And sometimes we may get impatient about wanting to do things faster. But, Lord, I know that the heart of this congregation is to be about your business. And I know the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Give us wisdom, Lord, that we truly trust and that we show evidence of trust, that we give cheerfully, that we surrender everything cheerfully, that we are not afraid or think that if we surrender all, we won't have fun. Lord, those are enemy's tricks, Lord, and we're going to rise above those tricks. And we're going to grow and be mature and be in unity, because the one thing remains. That when Jesus Christ is glorified, men come running, people come running to you, to the hope that's in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know the big picture. It is your desire for souls to come to your kingdom, for all to come to repentance. And each and every one of us have a part to play. And I know and I believe that you're preparing us for that. Not just the pastor, not just the leaders, but every single one of us can impact people, can teach, can be examples to the world that has no hope. So we accept this, Lord. We know this. We trust you in this. Let us go our way and take you with us. And Lord, we want you to be in it. We want you to be in our hurts. We want you to be in our drama. We want you to be in our joy and our peace and our victories. Lord, we want you to be in every part of our lives. Because one day, when there's a new heaven and a new earth, we will be all part of your kingdom. Rejoice not that demons are subject to you, but rejoice rather that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What else do we need, Lord? Peace, joy, victory, regardless of circumstances. Because we are people of trust. Who trust? People of faith. Lord, seal this in our hearts today and bring us back with energy and with enthusiasm to worship, to hear the youth, Lord. Next Saturday, there'll be no youth, but we'll be out in the community as a church. Lord, be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.